People recognize that meditation has so many significant benefits. After 8 weeks of meditation, you get more gray brain matter, and it actually slows down the telomere destruction at the end of your DNA. So it actually helps you increase your life.
Wow.
So meditation, some people are aware of it and there's so many rules around it. And, you know, some people are a little bit nervous about it. You know, when you think of meditation, you see like the Buddhist with the crossed legs and straight back and having to sit in an awkward posture for a long time. I was having a conversation the other day where somebody was saying to me that they thought meditation was just focusing on your breath. And that's one type of meditation, but there's a whole bunch of other type of meditations as well. So it doesn't need to be scary, and it's something that we can incorporate in our everyday life. Meditation is about setting an intention. So your intention will help decide what practice that you're going to use. And then it's focusing your attention on your breath, or focusing your attention on your thoughts. Western culture seems to struggle with that a little bit more. So it's since including focusing on attention on outside sources. So maybe like watching the flame of a candle or looking at a flower.
Or going and sitting on the beach and watching the waves.
Yes, yes, exactly. How I meditate is go for a daily walk in the morning, and that is the most amazing thing that I could do. So you can incorporate into your day-to-day routine. It doesn't have to be sit down on a cross-legged cold floor for hours and hours. And the other really important part of meditation is that non-judgment too. So a lot of people I know get caught up in bringing their focus back and getting angry at themselves that their focus shifted to something else. But that's the whole point of meditation, is recognizing when your focus does shift, not having any judgment about that, and just being able to bring your attention back to the point of focus.
So when you're walking around the lake, what is going through your mind? Are you just thinking one step, two step, three step? Are you focusing on the rhythm of your steps?
Yeah, so there is actually walking meditation, and walking meditation is about traditionally walking slower and just feeling the pressure on your feet as it moves, feeling the pressure on your heel and then coming up, and your foot as your foot rolls up, feeling how your leg feels as it comes through the air, paying attention to that as you move forward, and then putting your foot down on the ground and going through that process. So you can meditate on anything. For myself, when I'm walking around, I'm really being mindful of the environment around me. So I look at the trees and I look at the colours in the trees and the moss on the trees and how that moss is sitting and how the light plays onto that, and pay attention to the movements in the water or the sky and how the sky looks. And it's so relaxing, and it really sets up your whole day.
I know a lot of people will relate to the act of peeling or chopping or something, and I often think, oh, this is such good therapy. You often hear people say that if they've got to do lots of things in a row, because you're being very mindful in the present of just peeling that potato or that apple.
Yeah, you can also include it into fun activities. So for men, like a big one could be going and playing golf or doing something that requires that little bit more concentration, so you're not thinking about the other things around you, you're really focusing on what it is that you're doing.
Yes, yeah, well, surfing's the classic
yes.
example of that for lots of people. Well, that's interesting, because I think a lot of people don't know what to think about when they're meditating. They don't actually know what it means, which is really a studied focus for an extended period of time on something.
Yeah, and setting an intention is always helpful too, because there's another really good meditation technique called love and kindness, which cultivates compassion. So traditionally, it was starting out loving yourself, because in the Eastern world, that was a given, that you love yourself first. You know, they had it right. In the Western society, we really are struggling with that at the moment. So what you can do is visualize somebody that gives you those feelings of compassion and love. So maybe it's your partner or your child or your mother or father, or maybe it's a pet. And then it's about extending those same feelings to somebody a little bit broader in the circle. So maybe it's somebody at work or somebody that serves you at the supermarket, and trying to cultivate those same feelings that you had with the first vision to that broader circle. And then taking it even further and trying to cultivate that same compassion to Australia or to the world or to all beings. And that's a really lovely meditation to do, to cultivate compassion. love and kindness.
What's the relationship between mindfulness and instinct or intuition?
Instinct and intuition is so powerful, and it's really important that we learn to listen to ourselves. Because if you think about it, we have millions of pieces of information coming into us at any one point. So right now, if you were to think about your feet on the ground and think of the soles on your feet and just notice how that feels, or if you're sitting down, notice the chair supporting your back. Before I said that, you wouldn't have even thought about your feet. You would have been looking at who's in the room, the colours around you, the temperature, what smells you're smelling. So we have millions of pieces of information coming into us at any one point. Our subconscious is able to process all of that information. Our conscious, which is only about 5% of our consciousness, isn't able to deal with that. Could you imagine if we had a million pieces of information coming into us at any one point and actually getting anything done or being able to make any decisions? So what happens is we actually take that information and we either delete parts of the information, we generalize the information, or we distort the information, so that we can break it down to about 5 or 7 chunks that our conscious mind is able to cope with. So your intuition is tapping into your subconscious mind and the information that's coming through there. So if you do have instincts or feelings about the weather or your animals, then that is based off information that's coming through your subconscious. So it's really powerful and really important that you listen to that. So mindfulness allows us that space to, again, just be aware of that, because our intuition can be quite subtle. So because we're bombarded by so many different stimuli in the world and we're always busy and we're rushing, by creating that space just to be aware, to be mindful, to have rest and relaxation, increases our ability to really listen to that instinct.